Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel. We begin about 7-8 lines down from the top, Lamed Gimel Omar Aleph, with the words Tefillah, quoting the Mishnah. We're learning today Lila Nishmas Bani Ribstein, a Holocaust survivor who was an Ebuch Nifter a year ago. It's her first yard site. Shama should have an Aliyah, and may she be a Melitza Yashara for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin with the words Tefillah, where we quote the Mishnah that Tefillah can be said in any language. It doesn't have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, and as we pointed out already many times, Tefillah usually refers to Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara tells us, obviously it doesn't, because Rachmehi, we're asking HaKodesh Baruch Hu for all of our needs, and Kol Hecha Deboi Matzli, and any language that you can ask HaKodesh Baruch Hu, so it can obviously be asked in any language. As Rashi points out, in Dibur Maskul Tefillah, you don't need a pasuk to teach us this, because we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy on us. And every person should daven in the way that will be best for him. Again, we have codified tefillahs today, and a person can daven in Hebrew, and it's actually recommended that they daven in Hebrew rather than davening in English if they understand English and don't understand Hebrew, because nevertheless, the tefillahs that are in Hebrew have a special additional power to them, the way they were set up by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so there are hidden meanings and deep thoughts inside of them that even if you don't fully understand them, it is preferable to pray in Hebrew than it is in English. Obviously, it's much better to pray in Hebrew and understand what the words mean, and the person has to spend a certain amount of time trying to understand Perish HaMilim to understand the basic words. Okay, Gemara questions. It says, really? Utfilo b'chol lashon? Are you allowed to daven in any language that you want? As long as you understand that language, as we pointed out previously, you can't daven in French if you don't understand French. So, you can daven in French if you understand French. You can daven in Greek if you understand Greek, etc. The Hamar of Yehuda, but Gemara says, that's not true. Because Yehuda tells us, la'olam al yishal odom tzrocha b'loshon aramis, a person should not daven in Aramaic. Now, Aramaic was the vernacular language. That was the English of the people living in Babel. So, they spoke it for many, many years. So you're not allowed to daven in the vernacular tongue. Because the Rav Yochanan, because you do the quotes with Yochanan, Kol Hashol Tzrocha B'Loshon Arami, Ein Malach HaYasharis Nizkokin Lo. Person, if he davens in Aramis, in Loshon Arami, which is Aramaic, so then he would not be having the angels helping him get his tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, Lefi She'ein Malach HaYasharis Makirid B'Loshon Arami. Because the angels don't know Aramaic. The angels aren't able to really help. Now, this is a whole separate issue. Exactly what role, if any, the Malachim play in bringing our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe very strongly that a person davens directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on some level, however it exactly works, there are opinions, such as our Gemara over here, that says that the Malachim, they help our tefillos get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're conduits, there are ways that the Malachim assist in bringing our tefillos in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Albeit, again, there are those that are against this concept and say that, no, we all daven directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no intermediary. And that certainly is correct. Again, what role, how the Malachim do this is open for discussion. But the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So how can you tell me you're allowed to daven in any language? The Malachim won't be able to help you if you daven in Aramaic. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. It's not a steer to our mission that says you can daven in any language, implying even Aramaic. Lo kasha, hobi yochid, hobi tzibur. It depends. When you're davening as an individual, so you need all the help you can get. As Rashi says, tzarev sasayuhu malachi yashores. You want all the help that you can get your tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's only your merit, it's only your individual powers that are getting that tefillah to where it should be. And the malachim, if they can help you, fine. However, Rashi continues, says, tzibur, when you're davening with the tzibur, and this is such an important idea to daven with the minyan, lo tzriche luhu, you don't need any assistance, because the pasuk from Eov tells us, hein kel kabir lo yimas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always accepts the tefillos of the rabbin. And therefore, a person davening with a minyan doesn't have to worry about whether it's in Aramaic or not. That's why certain parts of our tefillos are in Aramaic, as opposed to when you're davening alone, none of the tefillos are really said privately in Aramaic. For example, something like Bruch Shemei or Yikum Purkun, so there are different opinions as to whether you can say them in private or not, but certainly these were tefillos that were set up as public tefillos, Bitzibor, and therefore there's no problem that they're in Aramaic. Gemara now questions further of Yochanan's idea that the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. Really? The Ein Malachi Yashoris Makir Meloshon Arami? The angels don't know Aramaic? Is that really true? But we have the following brisa, which brings two examples of cases where it seems that the Malachim did speak Aramaic. Well, Tanya, the first one is from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Who's Yochanan Kohen Gadol? So many suggest that this is Matisyo's father. When we have the whole story of Hanukkah, Matisyo, then Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol was his father. And he was once inside on Yom Kippur, as Rashi tells us, doing the Avodah. And what happened? So he was b'lifnai b'lifnim, inside the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, and shama bas kol mibeis kodesh hakadoshim. While he was there, he heard a bas kol ring out inside. Shuomed, the bas kol said that notzchu talya, that those young men, the chashmonoim, who went to battle, the ozul yagoch l'krova, went to go in battle, le'antuchya, in the city of Antuchya, Antioch, so they had won. They notzchu, they won. So here you have a malach speaking to him from inside the Holy of Holies, telling him that the battle against the Greeks in Antioch had been won by the young Chashmonaim. And another Maisa Shahaya, now some suggest that this Maisa Shahaya, the second one, was before the first one. Others say no, it wasn't, and that we'll see in a moment why the names might be a little bit different. Vishuv Maisa, there was another such Maisa, Vishimon HaTzadik. Now Shimon HaTzadik lived much earlier than Yochanan Kohen Gadol and the Chashmonaim. So if you have this girsa that this is Shimon HaTzadik, the Shimon HaTzadik, who was the first Kohen Gadol in the Bayi Sheni, so then the king that's involved over here is not the king that I'll mention in a moment. So this Maisa was B'Shimon HaTzadik, Shoshama Baskol, Mivei Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, he also was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and he heard a Baskol. Shuomer, the Baskol said, B'Telas Avidita, the Omar Sano Laisoi Al Hechola, that army that was marching against the Hechol, and some suggest they were going to put in some sort of an idol in the Hechol, that army has been defeated. And in fact, the king, Rashi says that this was a Greek king, the Nerag Gaskalgus Ubotlu Gzerosop. This Greek king, the Greeks would have been in charge of Eretz Yisrael to a certain extent at that time. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that for 180 years, the Greeks really ruled over Eretz Yisrael, even though there was some dominion of the Jewish people. And for 180 years, the Romans did it. Only for a 26-year period of time did the Jews really have a self-ruling kingdom during the Bayi Sheni. In the beginning of the Bayi Sheni, they also were ruled over by the Persians. In any event, we have over here a Maisa with Shimon HaTzadik that also a Aramaic voice, Mestama from a Malach, came out and clearly spoke Aramaic and said that the Jewish people had won against this Greek army that had been headed by Gaskalgus. That's the simple understanding that this was a Maisa Shehoya before the Maisa of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Others suggest that Shimon HaTzadik over here wasn't the Shimon HaTzadik, was another Kohen Gadol whose name was Shimon, who was also a Tzadik, but not the Shimon HaTzadik. And this actually occurred under the Roman ruler Caligula. Gaskalgus was actually the Roman ruler Caligula, which is a later king in the Bayi Sheni. And in any event, that's when this Maisa happened. In either way, because of Osu Shoah B'Chibnu, when this Shimon HaTzadik said that he had heard this, so he said it was exactly at this hour, at this moment, and when they looked to see that it happened, that's exactly when it happened. U'bilshon Arami Hayomer, and this voice that rang out was, again, speaking in Aramaic. So here we have two Maisim that occurred that seemingly a Malach understood Aramaic or spoke Aramaic. So how can you tell us that the Malachim, the Malach HaShoris, ain't a Makirim Miloshon Arami? So Gemara says two possible answers. Number one, Ibo Yisema, Baskol is shiny. When a voice speaks, it's different than the angels somehow understanding the language. The Lashmu Yavida, the angel is just, so to say, saying what they want him to say in Shemaim, Lab Davka, that he understands it and that he is actually speaking Aramaic. That's Teretz number one. Alternatively, it was Teretz number two, Vibay Seba, Gavriel Hava, that this was one Malach, Gavriel, who did understand the Aramaic. How do we know that Gavriel did speak Aramaic, but all the other Malachim don't? Because we have the famous Brisa, the Amamar, Ba Gavriel Velimdo Shivim Losho. When Yosef was brought out to Paro, so Paro was very concerned that Yosef wasn't really of a royal lineage. So Malach Gavriel came and taught him 70 languages. And therefore, that showed that he was a great person and of royal lineage. And obviously, if he taught him Aramaic, so obviously Gavriel understood Aramaic. In fact, Paro didn't know Hebrew, and he had to make Yosef swear to him that he won't tell anybody that Paro doesn't know Hebrew, because Paro also was supposed to know all 70 languages, but he didn't know Hebrew. That shvua that Yosef made to Paro is very important, because when Yosef wanted to bring Yaakov back from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael after Yaakov died, so Paro had told him, listen, you don't have to do that, leave him over here. And Yosef told him, I swore. So Paro told him, well, break your shvua. And Yosef said, well, if I break that shvua, then I can break other shvuas as well, such as the shvua that I swore to you, that I know that you don't know Hebrew, and I'll now let everybody else know. So Paro said, okay, guess what? Don't break the shua, and go bring Yaakov back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in any event, the Mishnah continues, and we quote, Birchas HaMazon can also be said in any language that you want. How do we know that? They'll say, because the pasuk says, V'chalta v'savato v'rachtos shalokecha, that you have to go and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu after you eat Tusas Titi. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and obviously this means, B'chol Loshon Sha'atim Mevarach, you can go and do this in any language that you wish to. And note that Rashi points out, we don't have the word minolon over here. It's just a birchas hamazon d'chsib, below garcino minolon. Why? The lo baya kra. You certainly don't need a pasuk to say this over here, that it's in any language you want. The mihecha tesi, the bina loshon kodesh. What would be a havamina to think that you do need to bedavka say it in Hebrew, that you need a pasuk to tell you not to say it in Hebrew? There's no reason to. That's why Rashi is not going to the word minolon. Tosfos on the other hand, Dibur Maskil Birchas HaMazon, disagrees, and he says that Rashi holds like that. However, there are Gersos that do say the word Minolon over here, and that you might have thought that you should learn it out from the Brachos on Har Grizim, and those have to be said in Hebrew. So you might think that the Brach of Yochalta V'Savato V'Rachto of benching also has to be said in Hebrew. That's why you need this idea that it tells us that B'chol Loshon Sha'ato Mivarech. Okay. Now, the next thing in the Mishnah we said is Shuasa Eidos, that if a person swears that he doesn't know testimony for somebody, and he swore falsely, so then he has to bring a Karban Chatas. So, how do we know that? Minolon, that's the Gersa that Rashi has. Rashi here does have the word Minolon, albeit our Gemara doesn't have that Gersa. In any event, Tatsiv, V'nefesh Kisechato V'shomo Kol Ola. So, it tells us that if the person hears the sound of a shvua, implying that he had to say something, and he could say it in any language that he wants, b'holoshon shehi shomas. So therefore, the person doesn't have to say it in Hebrew if he just swears in any language that he doesn't know the Eidos, and he swore falsely, so then he does in fact have to go and bring the carbon. And as Rashi points out, Rashi does have the gears over here, minolon, because Rashi says, the ilokas of kra, ikalameimah, if you didn't have the pasuk here telling us that it has to be b'holoshon shata shomas, the nefesh kisecht of a shomo kol Allah, I would have said that maybe it's like the shu of Har Grizim and Har Eval, the dafka has to be b'loshon kodesh. Then we quote the Mishnah that says, shuas ha-pikadon, if a person swears that he doesn't have the collateral that his friend had deposited with him, and he does, so if he swears falsely, he has to bring korban chatas as well. And how do we know that this is true, that it can be swearing in any language, and it doesn't have to be b'loshon kodesh? Because here we learn out, gzeir shava, asya techeta mishuas edus. By shuas edus, it says, nefesh kisechta, and by shuas ha-pikadon, it also says, techeta. So therefore, through this gezeir shava, we know that you don't have to say it in Hebrew. It can be said in any language that you want. Again, Rashi points out, we have the two psukim over here, the nefesh kisechato v'shoma kol Allah, that's a shuas ha'edus, and then nefesh kisechato umal amal b'ashem v'kichesh ba'aniso b'pikadon. So that's what we have, kisechato by pikadon. So this gezeir shava, sechato is how we learn out that it can be in any language. Then we quote the Mishnah, the following things are said, however, b'loshon kodesh b'davka. And we have a long quote from the Mishnah, b'ilin emor b'loshon ha-kodesh, mikru bikurim chalitza b'chulei, and mikru bikurim keitzai, yonisa v'yamayat v'nei shev l'kecha, ulhalu omer v'onu al-bim v'yamru el-kol ish Yisrael, and ma'aniya amur al-alam b'loshon ha-kodesh, avkan b'loshon ha-kodesh. So that's a quotation from the Mishnah. We learned it in the Mishnah. What it's basically telling us is that we learn out from bikurim, it says v'yonisa v'yamayata, and it says Anu Halvim V'Amru in regards to the brachos and klolos on Har Grizim and Har Eval. So we learn out that just like the brachos and klolos on Har Grizim and Har Eval have to be in Hebrew, so too Mikra Bikurim have to be in Hebrew. We learned that V'Anisa V'Amarta, this double lashon Anu V'Amru, is found by both, and therefore it means Bedavka in Hebrew. Now we question Levim Gufayim Minolim. How do we know that the Levim have to go and say on Har Grizim their brachos and klolos in Hebrew? So we learn out Asya Kol Mimosha. This we learn out from a Kol Gzerushava from Moshe Rabbeinu. Over here it says Ksiv Hocha Kol Rom. By Levim it says V'Anu Levim Yamru El Kol Ish Yisrael Kol Rom. And by Moshe Rabbeinu it also says Ksiv Hasam by Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Yidaber V'Elokim Yanenu Bekol. So obviously Malahal V'Lashon Kodesh over there when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, B'kol, so that's obviously B'loshon HaKodesh. Everybody agrees the Torah was given B'loshon HaKodesh. So too, Avkan, in regards to the Levim, it has to be Avkan B'loshon HaKodesh. So they learn out this Gzeir Shavu, Kol. That's how you know that Mikra Bikurim, which is learned out from Har Grizim and Har Eval, has to have Loshon Kodesh. So Mikra Bikurim is learned out from Har Grizim and Har Eval, and Har Grizim and Har Eval is learned out from the Kol Gzeir Shava. Now we quote the Mishnah again, where it said Chalitza, Ketza, V'chulei. So Chalitza, we learned out in the Mishnah from the Unsa, the Amra, that same Lashon of Anu and Amru, so it's learned out from Hagrizim and Har Eval, from the Levim there, Anu, Halevim, the Amru. That's what our Mishnah said. But then Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He said, the Chalitza, you can learn it out itself, because it says Kocha, that it has to be done just like this, i.e. in Hebrew. So Rabbi Yehuda has a different pasuk. He doesn't need the Anisa v'yamarta drasha. We'll have to ask, then what does he do with the Anisa v'yamarta drasha? And we'll have to ask what the Chachamim do with the drasha of Kocha. So the first Gemara starts off and says, Rabbanan, Hi, Kocha, my Avilei. Rav Yehuda had needed the word Kocha to tell us that it has to be B'loshen HaKodesh, the Chalitza. But the Chachamim don't need it for that. So what do they use the word Kocha to teach us? Hi, Kocha, my Avilei. So the Gemara says, Miboy Elohu, you need the word Kocha, according to the Chachamim, L'davar Shumaisa, that is Ma'akev, that something that is an action. As Rashi says over here at the bottom, Rashi, Kigon Chalitza, the actual Chalitza itself, process of taking off the shoe, or Rikika, and the spitting, that has to be done, or else it's Ma'akev. The Kocha, Mashma Ikuva, the Osu Lashanos, that you're not allowed to change it around. And there's so mech this, v'samchu, from the word, the Pasuk tells us, Kocha Ye'aseh. So for the word Le'aseh, Lomar Shamaisa Ma'akev. So the Chachamim teaches us, with the word Kocha, that the actions are Ma'akev, but the saying of the words, that's not Ma'akev. Knew it was Yehuda. Learned this from. How does Yehuda know that those actions are ma'akev? If he needs the word kocha to teach us that it must be said in Hebrew, so then he doesn't have the freedom to learn out that it also should be ma'akev. So the word answers no. He dashes out. Instead of it saying the word ko, it could have said ko yeyaseh, but instead it said kocha yeyaseh, so miko, instead of ko, it said kocha, so he learns out from extra word that we say, kocha, rather than ko, that is the source. So he learns both that. He learns that it has to be in Hebrew. If it had just said ko, we learn that it would be in Hebrew. And kocha teaches us that it's ma'akev if you don't do the asiyah. No, why don't the chacham learn out ko, kocha? Why don't they have this drasha? Because rabbanon ko, kocha, lo, mashmeluhu. They don't hold from this, like we had the other day, hadvorim. Dvarim, Hadvarim, so they didn't hold that, so they over here don't hold Ko, Kocha as well. We turn to Lama Gimel of the days. Now we still have a question. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, the Onso, the Amra, my Ovidlei, the Chachamim learned out the Onso, the Amra, to teach us the Gzei Rishava to the brachos and clothes, and I agree, they're not able to teach us Hebrew. But Rabbi Yehuda has the word Kocha, so what does he use the drash of the Onso, the Amra, to teach us? So the Gemara answers me, boy, lay. The Rabbi Yehuda would need it, le'agmuri le'levim, the b'loshon kodesh, that the Levim have to say it in Loshon Kodesh. The Gemara says, why doesn't he learn it out? B'leil of kol mi Moshe, we have the kol gzei reshava from Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Torah, so why don't Rabbi Yehuda learn it out from there as well, and therefore you don't need Yon Sov Yomra? So the Gemara answers, because he had a Kabbalah, the Aniyah Gomer. He had this Gzei Rishava, the answer of the Amra, to be a valid Gzei Rishava. However, Kol Lo Gomer, he didn't have that as a valid Gzei Rishava. As I mentioned many times over the years, Rav Shechter Shlita would say that there was a certain number of Gzei Rishavas that they had a Kabbalah. You can't darshan your own Gzei Rishava. Gzei Rishava had to be from basically Moshe Misinai. So there were certain numbers of Gzei Rishavas that they had, but Lav Davka, that everybody had the same listing of what those Gzei Rishavas were. And that's why we have sometimes a Machlokes, such as over here, whereas one Tana holds that this was a valid Gzei Rishava, and another Tana didn't have that Kabbalah, and therefore he doesn't have it listed as one of the valid Gzei Rishavas. Okay. So the Gemara continues and tells us we have a Braisa in support of this as well. Tani Nami Hachi, a Braisa supports what we just said about Rav Yehuda, they didn't have this Gzei Rishava. Because Rav Yehuda tells us, Komakum Shneamar Ko, Kocha, and Aniya v'Amira, Eino Ela Lashon Kodesh. You have to say things where it uses the word Ko, or the word Kocha, or the word Aniya v'Amira, both of those, it must be in Hebrew, can't be said in any other language. Where do we see this? By Birchas Kohanim, it says Ko, Kos of Aruch Hu Es B'nei Yisrael. So that has to be in Hebrew, as we learned in our Mishnah, and as we'll learn here now. That must be B'davka B'Lashon Kodesh. When the Kohanim duchen, it can only be done in Hebrew, they can't duchen in French, they can't duchen in English. Likewise, the word kocha, which we just had from Chalitza, kocha yeyaseh, that you have to do like this. So we learn out that it must be bedavka in Hebrew. And finally, the aniyah v'amira that we have, anu halavim v'amru, that we have in regards to the brachos and clothes, and ha'griz and ha'revo, that specifically tells us that the levim must say it in Hebrew because he doesn't have this gzei reshava of kol. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It says, brachos and clothes, ketzad, what's the process by which the Levim, Kohanim, the Aron, that they did the brachos and chols with half the shvatim on one mountain on Har Grizim, and the other half, the other six shvatim on Har Eval. So the Mishnah had went and gone through that. Now we have a brisa that expands on this further. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa says, the pasuk tells us, Halohema be'evar yardin achrei derech mevo hashemesh be'eretz haknani ha'yoshe ba'arava mul ha'gilgol eitzel elonei moreh. Now, we had discussed this pasuk already, and now we're going to go to it in more detail. So the Brisa quotes the beginning of this pasuk and says, Halohema be'evar yardin. How does the Brisa darshan this? So this is telling us that it means me'evar layardin va'elach. In other words, Klai Yisrael was on the eastern side of the Yardin. They hadn't yet crossed the Yardin, and it's telling us that they would go on Har Grizim and Har Eval, which were on the other side of the Yarden, on the western side of the Yarden. So it meant Me'evar LeYarden Ve'elach. After you cross over the Yarden and go further, that's where you'll find Har Grizim and Har Eval. There we are, Rabbi Yehuda. And further, Rabbi Yehuda darshins, Achrei Derech Mevo HaShemesh. What does that mean? This tells us Makom Shechama Zorachas. This is telling us on the eastern side. They are on the eastern side of the Yarden, and this place where Har Grizim and Har Eval are is not on the eastern side. It's Makum Shecham Mezorachas is where they are, but the place where they're going to is far away, far from the eastern side. Acharei Derech Mevo HaShemesh. And where is that? Be'eretz HaKenani Asher Ba'arava. This is in the land of Canaan, again, on the western side of the Yarden, where there is an Arava, where there is a plain, a valley. And this is a reference to Elu HaGrizim Har Evel Sheyoshun Bohem Kusim. And this is the plain on which the mountains of HaGrizim Har Evel stand. And this was the land of the Kusim in the Shomron. The people known as the Kutim were translocated by Sanhedrin when he defeated them in the place Kuta. So he brought them over here to the Shomron. And they're the people that are living there. That's the Kusim area. And this place is Mul HaGilgal, means opposite Gilgal, which means Samuch LeGilgal, which means right near the Gilgal. And it concludes the pasuk. It says, Eitzel Elonei Moreh, this is a reference to Shechem, because Ulahalot Omer, as we put down in the Mishnah, it says also, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh. So Shechem by Avram is Elon Moreh. So to Ovir, Elonei Moreh, Ma Elon Moreh, Om Ulahalot Shechem Av Kan Shechem. Okay, that's the way Rabbi Yehuda darshins this pasuk. Tanya, I learned in the Braisa further, Amar Rabbi Elazar, B'Rabbi Yossi, Elazar Yossi says, B'Dabar Zeziyafti Sifrei Kusim. The Kusim were not known for having Torah Shebaal Pet. They only believed in the Torah Shebuchsat. So with this idea that we just brought down, so Rabbi Elazar, B'Rabbi Yossi, was able to show the Kusim that they had essentially falsified and had forged words in their Torah, in the what they claim to be the Torah's Masorah. Amar to them, I said to them, Ziyaftem Torahschem, you forged, you added words to your Torah, v'lo helisem b'yechem klum, but you gain nothing from this, because sha'atem omrim elonei moreh shechem, you say that elonei moreh is shechem, but you have no source for it, but you added it on into the pasuk to have it that way. Afanu modim she'elonei moreh shechem, we agree that elonei moreh is shechem, but we learn it out through this Gezeir Shava. Al-Lumadim Gezeir Shava. We learn it out through this Gezeir Shava that we brought down that from Avram Avinu to over here, crossing the Yarden. But you, Atem, B'meyit Lumadim, you don't have any source. You don't have a Gezeir Shava, and therefore you can't learn out that it means Shechem. You made it up, and therefore you're making up a lot of things, and you should stop making up stuff and instead use the Torah Shebaal Peh like we do to understand what's really going on. So this is the way Rabbi Yehuda darshaned the pasuk. The same pasuk is darshaned differently by Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Amar, when it says Halohema be'evar yardein, what does that mean? He says it means samuch liyardein. It's very close to the yardein, not far away like Rabbi Yehuda darshaned it. Because the I me'evar yardein ve'elach, you're telling me it's far away like Rabbi Yehuda darshaned it. Haloksiv v'yol be'avrechem es yardein, you'll have it there right as you cross the yardein. That's where it will be. So it can't be very far away. The next part where it says, Acharei derech mevo HaShemesh, what does that mean according to Rabbi Elazar? It means, Makom shahachama shokats, not where the sun rises, but where the sun sets, meaning on the western side of the Yarden. So it's not very far away. It is very, very close to the Yarden. Then Rabbi Elazar darshins, Be'eretz HaKenani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it said, Be'eretz HaKenani, that's Eretz Chivihi. That's where the Chivim live. But Hayoshei Barava, that doesn't make any sense because the Chivi, the Kenanim, follow Bain Harim Ugvalos in Yoshim. They weren't only in the plains, they were in the mountains as well, and in the hills. And therefore, when it says Mul HaGilgal, follow Lo Ro Es HaGilgal, this is nowhere near the Gilgal. So he therefore explains it in the following way. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Lo Ba Kosev Ela Laharos Len Derech Bishnia, Kiderech Shehera Lehen Barishona, is to teach us that the road that they were going to take in the second part of their trip would be similar to the road that they were taking in the first part of the trip. What exactly does this mean? So Rashi brings down the Ramasu Kiderech Shehera Lehen Barishona, all the way towards the bottom of the thin lines. And Rashi says, when you left Mitzrayim, it says Mitzrayim, Ba'amud Onon Lanchosam Aderech, the clouds of glory, the Anunai Yakabot, so they led us. Kach Bo Achshav Liyasher Derechayim, they came to straighten out the road for them. Ulorosam Haderech, to show them the way to go. The Fisher Goli Lufonav Sha'asid Ha'anon Lifsok, so the Mises Moshe, that the clouds of glory were still with Klal Yisrael. So just like they took us out of Mitzrayim and showed us the way then, they're still with us now, and they're showing us the way now. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, those clouds will leave. V'lo yelech im Yoshua. They're not going to be with Yoshua. So until Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Hor lehem le'achash yavru se'yadein lich Moshe sa'aretz yelchu derech kivusha. So it's showing them the path that they have to take when they cross the Yardin. V'derech Yishuv, v'derech Eretz HaKnani, shoya Rabba. V'ayokivu samuch l'sfas ha'yardein, derech Eretz HaChivi. So go in this direction and not in that direction. So therefore, that is what the Pasuk is telling us. Derech over here, of the similar to the first time that you traveled, it's going to be traveling now as well. And the Pasuk continues, when it says derech, it means v'derech l'chu v'lo b'sadu sukramen. Go on the roads and don't go through the fields. Hayoshev, what does that mean? The Yishuv, you go through the settled areas, Lechu, below Bimbaros, and not in the wilder areas, the uninhabited desert areas. And when it says Barava, it means Barava, in the plains, Lechu, below Baharim Ugbaros, and not in the mountainous areas. So again, there's different ways to dash in this pasuk. In any event, the Braisa continues and tells us, Tadu Rabbanu, and we learn the following Braisa, Ketzat Avri Yisrael Es HaYarden. How did the Jewish people actually cross the Yarden? And this was one of the most miraculous events in Jewish history. B'chol Yom, first it starts off and tells us that in a regular day of travel, the Aron Noseya Achar Shnei Degolim, they would have two flags going ahead of the Aron, and then they would have the Aron going. Now, Klal Yisrael was divided up into four groups, three Shvatim each. Each one had their own flag. So two of the four groups, each with three Shvatim, went first. So one Degel, then the next Degel, and then came the Aron. So B'chol Yom, Aron Nosei Achar Shnei Degolim, after two of the three tribe groups had passed, then came the Aron. But on this day, when they crossed the Yarden, Vayom Nosatchila, the Aron traveled first, before any of the Degolim, before any of the Shvatim. And this is known because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Hinei Aron Habris, Adon Kol Aretz, Ovel of Nechem. It says that it went first. Now, in every day, V'chayom, V'yom, Levim, Nosim, Es Aron, on a normal day, the Levim went and carried the Aron. However, on this day, when they crossed the Yarden, Vayom, Nisa'u, Kohanim, the Kohanim carried it. And this is also based upon Pesukim, Shinemar. The Pasuk says, Vayor, Kinoach, Kapos, Raglei, HaKohanim, Nosei, Aron, Hashem, V'gomer. So clearly, they carried it. So the Kohanim sometimes carried it, and on this day was one of those days that they carried it. As we learned in the Braisa, Tanya, Rav Yossi Omer, the Braisa Rav Yossi tells us, in three places, B'shlosh HaMakomos, in three places, the Kohanim were the ones that carried the Aron. B'shlosh HaMakomos, Nasu Kohanim, Es Aron. Where were the three places? Number one, Kisha Avru was a Yarden, now when they crossed the Yarden. Number two, Ukishe Sibu Es Yericho, when they surrounded Yericho. They surrounded Yericho and circled Yericho one time every day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and the walls of Yericho came down. And the third place is Shechziru Limkomo. If the Shlomo Melech builds the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim bring the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, so that was via the Kohanim. Now, we finished off Lamed Gimel of the days. We're in the middle of this Braisa, but this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's shiur. We'll pick up tomorrow for the very beginning of Lamed Aleph.